rainy out. Really? Yep, it's rainy, but it's dry in here, and I'm happy, and you're happy. God has made us glad, right? And if you were paying attention to the sermon last week, you know we come to his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we enter his courts with praise. So let's stand and do that now. We're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Keep clapping!
He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. With thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
He's made me.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering.
Yeah.
And do it with a smile. And do it with a smile, right? Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. And we're doing what this opens with, okay? What David did. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
That's what we're here for. We're here to worship the Lord. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying this: Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Amen. Wow. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Amen. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we rejoice. Your word says to rejoice even that our names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. We praise you and exalt you this morning in the midst of the assembly. What an awesome privilege we have this morning of being in your house to worship you together, Lord Jesus. And may one encourage another to worship, and another encourage another to worship you. For you are highly exalted above all things. All power, honor, and glory belongs unto you. Bless our time together, Lord Jesus, and you be exalted. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. He is the ruler of all things, the God above. And we have nothing to fear with him on our side.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Shall I fear?
You crush the enemy.
You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. No troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before. friend of mine, the God of angel armies, is always by my side.
My strength is in your name.
My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of ancient armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine.
Sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return's very soon, so you'd better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
In the sky, when the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. Give your God a clap. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. You'll see a little bit later on in our service today why we sang that song. Because Psalm 111 tells us that very thing. Our God, indeed, is an awesome God. And we're going to talk about and look at what that means. Thank you, worship team. Folks, would you find your hymnal with me at this time? And we're going to read a text of scripture as to why our God is that awesome God. Who he is and what he has done. Go with me, if you will, to responsive reading number 86. For those of you joining us at home, welcome to our service this morning. We're so glad that you are with us. Please listen to the text of Scripture because you do not have this text before you. It's selected verses of text from the New Testament. As you are finding your way to number 86 in your hymnals, a couple of very, very quick announcements I'd like to share with you. You'll notice in the pew rack located right in front of you are our faith promise pledges for next year. If you have not yet had opportunity to fill that out with regards to our missionary faith promise pledges for next year, that is right out front of you. You probably saw the numbers appear on the big screen already this morning. We're over halfway to our goal, so thank you. Thank you for already having done that, and if you have not had occasion to do that, I'm putting mine in today. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. Those faith promise cards are there for that very reason. Thanksgiving, next Wednesday. Boy, this is creeping up on us, isn't it? If you have not had yet the opportunity to sign up for something to bring in or an opportunity to come in and volunteer for prep work the day before, we still have some open slots there for those things. Please visit the board before you leave today if you have not done that yet. Operation Christmas Child boxes, those are due today. So if you haven't had a chance to bring it in, could you do so very, very early in the week? Because we'll be delivering them later on this week. So those are due today. And last thing, right after our service this morning, there is a special call church business meeting, and this is for the purpose only of selecting a new nominating committee for 2023. So that's what we'll be doing. If you are a member of the church, please, please do stay. We need you for this. So stay if you can. That being said, hymnal in hand, number 86, scripture text from Colossians, the book of Hebrews, book of Revelation. I'll begin where it says worship leader, and if together we could read with one another where it says worship leader and the people. And with that song still ringing in my ear of how our God is an awesome God, let's read of how he is that awesome God. And as we proclaim through the public reading of God's word, his awesome nature, his awesome person, his awesome works. Listen to the word of God. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him holds all things together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from amongst the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And now all God's people, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And to which God's people must say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, with hymnals still in hand, let's sing some of your favorite hymns this morning. Alrighty? So with hymnal in hand, let's continue to sing and to worship this day. Give me a hymn number and tell me which verses you like to sing. First and last, if you don't tell me any, but what would you like to sing today? Maybe a favorite of yours? Maybe something we haven't done in a while. We're going to go to Ed, and then Mary, we're going to come to you, dear. Number 56 in our hymnal. Yes. And those of you joining us at home, if you do have a home hymnal and you'd like to sing along as you hear the organ start, we are singing the hymn entitled Day by Day. Would you like to do them all, Ed? A couple there? You want to do Ed wants to do them all. All righty. 1, 2, and 3. Let's sing together Day by Day. There are people who are passing through. We're heading to the promised land. And heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Mary, what would you like to sing, dear? Number 473. All right, let's make our way there. 473. And for those of you who are joining us at home, the hymn that has been selected to sing right now is entitled Victory in Jesus. Mary, anything you like to sing there in particular? You want to do all three? All right, let's do all three of them. This will be our last one for the morning. It's verses 1, 2, 3. Victory in Jesus is 473. Let's worship. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the good singing this morning. Gentlemen, would you please join me up front at this time as we now worship the Lord in the great giving and bringing forth of our gifts. Aren't you glad that we know and serve and love a seeking God? He came, He sought after you, after me. We serve a God who paid a great price at Calvary through His precious, ever-precious shed blood. And it was sufficient. Praise His name. Lord Jesus, thank you for the life that we have in your name. We thank you that you are the awesome God of heaven and earth, as the scriptures call you. Thank you, Lord, that we have a Lord today whom we can praise publicly and in the assembly of the righteous and in the congregation of the saints. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who put a song in our hearts, and there is joy present there. Lord, we take up our morning offering today. We do so with gladness. We do so with joy. We do so in obedience to your word, and we do so now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it looks like Donna and Jennifer have our special music this morning. Thank you, ladies.
I have to look out for this cord up here. I want to thank Peggy for Cameron Boyles, for loaning me her glasses. On the way up here, my reading glasses broke, so anyway, we can do this. Part of Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." He's the one that can get us through all life's things that happen to us in our lives. And the heavy burden
Ladies, thank you for our special music this morning. Friends, Psalm number 111, would you find your way there with me this morning? And as you are locating that psalm in your scriptures, two additional very quick announcements I want to share with you this morning. The first one is next Thursday morning during on Thanksgiving Day, we do have our Thanksgiving service. That will be at 9 o'clock. And that service, along with scripture reading and singing, really is largely Thanksgiving testimonies. So it is what those who are there that day bring out and want to share with those who are present of what the Lord has done in their lives. So please do have that on your calendars, if you would. And say, while the turkey is cooking in the oven, you're not just going to stand there and watch it, okay? So come on out. Come out and be a part of our service and share a word of testimony. And secondly, I also want to let you know that on the first Sunday, next month, first Sunday of December, we're going to be having the Spencer family with us. They'll be coming sharing a Christmas concert. We've had them many times in the past singing gospel music. We've always been blessed by that, but they're coming this year, first Sunday in the month of December, for a Christmas concert. So please do have that on your calendars also. Folks, Psalm 111, we're going to get there in just a moment. Can we pray together? And then we will turn into God's Word together as a family. Lord, thank you for the occasion for the saints to come together on this day that you have made. This day in which we are found rejoicing and being glad in you, O Lord. O Father, we thank you for your blessed word, that which speaks to us and ministers to our hearts and reveals more and more of who you are to us. Lord, as we come into this ancient text, this ancient psalm, preserved for us today, we will give thanks to you. We will praise your name. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, guide our thoughts, our thinking process. Lord, may this word speak powerfully and mightily to our spirits today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was back in 1998 that singer and songwriter Rich Mullins wrote and recorded that song that we all sang earlier this morning, our God is an awesome God. And when he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps, lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom and power and love, our God is an awesome God. And when the skies were starless in the void of a night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and he created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that you have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. If you were to look up the word awesome in the dictionary, you would come across this definition, at least the dictionary I used this week online. That which inspires reverence and wonder. That which evokes an emotion mingled with respect and fear. That which leaves one, I like this, temporarily speechless. So with that in mind, can I begin this morning by throwing out a question for you to consider. What is it today, if anything at all, that leaves you speechless in this sense of wonder and awe? What is it in life or a life experience that leaves you in this just sense of awe and wonder at what you're looking at? Is it something in God's creation? Maybe something in nature? Where you stand and you observe and you look and it's just like you're just, it's incredible. Number of things come to my mind that leave me speechless like this. One of them that came to my mind was that day back on May the 24th, 1986, and I saw my beautiful bride coming down the aisle. I was speechless. And all these years later, I just still love her to pieces. And not afraid to say so publicly. When I have the occasion, the opportunity to officiate at weddings, and we're standing out front here, and I'm standing with the groom and all of his attendants, and it's time for the bride to come down the aisle, and all eyes turn in that direction. Nobody's looking at him at the moment. I'll just sort of lean over, and I'll whisper to him, never forget this moment. Never forget what you are thinking and feeling and seeing this very moment. There are things in God's creation that leave me in awe and wonder. One of them, I'll never forget, standing on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem and looking out at the holy city. And knowing that at some point in time, it would be at that very location, according to Zechariah chapter 14, that Jesus is coming back again. It was from that vicinity, somewhere there on that mount, that he was taken up into glory, and he's coming back again to that very place, that vicinity. It leaves you with a sense of awe and wonder. I remember another occasion. I have to go back to the land of Israel again. I was just awestruck. I remember one particular day we were baptizing several dozen people, actually. And then a family comes to us. A couple moms, their kids. They were touring the Holy Land on their own. They weren't with a tour guide or a tour group of any kind. And they observed what we were doing. Well, there were hundreds of people being baptized that day. It was awesome. And they came up and they said, would you baptize us also? We didn't know who they were. And I said, do you mind if I ask you some questions? Could you tell me, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And could you share with me just very briefly a little bit of your testimony? And then when we're satisfied with their response, we said, sure, let's go back into the water. We baptized them also. I remember that day there were people literally from all over the world who were gathered at that site, and it is broken up into different little sites so the little groups could gather together and each could have their own little service and baptism service, things like that. And I remember watching, looking out at different groups, and they came from all over the world. And they were people that spoke a different language than I did. And their skin color was different than mine. But we were all believers and followers of Jesus. And it was amazing to see and observe different baptism styles and techniques. You kind of had, what I call your triple dippers. I baptize you in the name of the Father, up they come. The Son, up they come. The Holy Spirit, up they come. Your triple dippers. And then you had, in some groups, you had your forward dippers. They go down face first and they come back up again. We are the reverse dippers. And I remember cleaning up afterwards and getting back on the tour bus, and I was just, I had no words. I was absolutely speechless. What had we just done? And where had we done it at? And it was in these waters that John the Baptizer baptized. It was in these waters that Jesus was baptized. And there was just a sense of wonder and awe. And there are times when you just don't have words to describe that which you are a part of, or you're seeing, or you're experiencing. What is it that inspires you? I'd like to share with you a couple texts of Scripture, if I can, this morning. Oh, I promise, we're getting to Psalm 111. But one of them is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Listen to these verses. I begin at verse 12. We read this in the book of John the Revelator. And he says in Revelation 1:12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. His hairs was like, the hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. And in his hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. And John, after some 60 years, for if Jesus indeed died in the year of April A.D. 33, and the book of Revelation is a mid-90s text, 6 decades have gone by since John has seen his Jesus. When he first laid eyes upon him, back on the shores of Galilee. He was just a young man, young stud. And now John, probably aged, grayish white hair, voice trembling, hands probably shake. And the old man gets to see his Lord again. What an awesome sight that must have been. And John says, it was as if I was dead. Oh my. I'm not going to read it again, but we read in the responsive reading this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Jesus, the creator of all things. All things have been made by him, for him, through him. That is just one of those awe-inspiring texts of Scripture. Think of characters from the Bible with me, very quickly, if you will. I think of Moses. What did he see? During the time of his calling, his commissioning, he saw the Lord revealed and heard in this bush that was burning but was not consumed. How often do you see that sort of thing? And then Moses, who would lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and out of Egyptian slavery, and they are standing at the mouth of this body of water, and they get to see it open up before them by a strong wind. And the Bible says that they cross over, the Bible says, on dry land. It was so dry, they almost choked on the dust crossing over. That's what the Lord did. Or how about the prophet Elijah? When he sees fire falling down from heaven and consuming sacrifices, and not only the sacrifice, but it consumes the water, it consumes the altar itself. Or maybe it was listening to the still small voice of God back at Mount Sinai once again. Or how about passages such as Luke chapter 7 or John chapter 11, the raising of the dead. To the widow at Nain in Luke chapter 7, Jesus will give her back her boy once again. In the Gospel of John, Lazarus is raised from the dead, comes out of the tomb. He's still in his grave clothes. Lazarus, come out. These are things you do not see every day. Certainly that would leave you in absolute wonder and awe. What is it that we are seeing here today? What are we looking at? What are we observing? Or maybe, just maybe, it was the Apostle Peter, way up in the northern reaches of Israel at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he got to see, along with James and John, the transfigured Jesus Christ. He was so taken by that, Peter would never forget it. As a matter of fact, in Peter's own writings, some three decades later, he would tell us this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Listen to the text. He records this for us. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw it. We were eyewitnesses. We were there on the mount that day. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Never forgot it. Now, those are things you don't forget. We do not forget the things that God does when he shows up. His work and his word, they have a way of transforming the human heart And it is the Spirit of God through the Word of God, the Spirit of God who is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, which has the power to convince and to convict the hardened sinner and to regenerate a human heart. That is a work of God that inspires awe, even today. I love the story. The story is told of one of Adolf Hitler's henchmen, one of his bodyguards, a fellow by the name of Kurt Wagner. The bodyguard just adored the Nazi madman. He revered him as a god. At the end of the war, after Hitler took his own life in a Berlin bunker, Wagner's faith in Hitler was shattered, needless to say. He planned to take his own life also. And as the storyline goes, he had one final cup of coffee. He noticed on the floor before him a discarded gospel tract of all the places to find something like that. He picked it up, looked at it at first rather carelessly. Then with a little bit more interest, he read through it. And as the storyline goes, he sought out a pastor to find out what it meant and what it was about. Kurt Wagner was transformed from a hardened, murderous man to a peace-loving man through the work of the Holy Spirit and that gospel tract, and he became a new creature in Christ. That is the work and the power of the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. With regards to the Word of God itself, and I promise we're getting to Psalm 111, just sort of laying the groundwork for it. The Word of God, not only is the work of God awesome, the actual Word of God is awesome. The Word of God is awesome in its veracity, its power, its authority, its dependability. You've heard it many times from this pulpit. I hope you never grow tired of it. But you have heard many times that this word will never lead us astray. It is always truthful in all that it reveals to us. The word of God is powerful. It is awesome. Well, one area I think of is in its indestructibility. For years now, for centuries now, man has been trying to destroy it, to discredit it, to disavow it, to dismiss it, to slander it, but the Word of God is still here today. That's powerful. That is awesome. It is awesome in its unity of purpose, and all I mean by that is that its message from the beginning to the end is consistent. It hasn't changed. In short, it points the way to Jesus. It has the ability to inspire holy living and to change us, to change the likes of me into a Christ follower. It is awesome in its prophetic element. It is always true in that which it prophesies. And those prophecies that have already been fulfilled and come true have been fulfilled literally. They have been fulfilled accurately and without error. And those that have not yet been fulfilled, when they are fulfilled, they will be fulfilled literally and accurately and without error. And one of those prophecies I take and I hold on to and I embrace every day is that our Jesus is coming again. And as he came once, literally, physically, he will come again. In his prophetic element, it is awesome. And it is relevant to every age, to the age of those to whom it was originally given, whether it was 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago or somewhere in between. It is relevant in its composition to every single person who picks it up. Folks, on a Sunday morning, I do not have to make this book relevant to you. It is relevant to you. I love the story of a Jewish rabbi. His name was Slostowski. Rabbi Stoslowski taught at a yeshiva, which is nothing more than a Jewish seminary in Tel Aviv. The rabbi, as the story goes, he hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated the New Testament. So great was his hate that one day during class, he publicly humiliated one of his students who he saw that the young student had a copy of the Hebrew New Testament. And he was reading through it. He gave the rabbi the Hebrew New Testament. That night, the rabbi went home, stayed up until the wee early hours of the morning reading the New Testament in his Hebrew, in his own Hebrew tongue. The Holy Spirit convicted him greatly. His testimony afterwards was, "I have already found more than 200 passages of the Old Testament that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was truly the Messiah. It is the power of God in the Word of God that brings light into darkness and changes us from the inside out." Well, Psalm 111, okay, get with me there if you will this morning. We have been considering some of the awesome aspects of our God today, specifically in His work, that which He has done, and in His Word. And Psalm 111 is going to lead us into that very thing right now. That's why we began the way that we did. Psalm 111 is also what we would categorize as not only a hallelujah psalm, but as a thanksgiving psalm. And that's why we are doing thanksgiving psalms in the month of November as we are in this season of thanksgiving. So that's why Psalm 111 was selected for the day. Look at the text. Look at the Word of God with me, if you will. As the psalmist, the unknown psalmist, records for us the works and the Word of our awesome God. The Word reads like this: "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All of His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." Psalm 111. So we notice right from the very get-go that this awesome God whom we worship today inspires praise, inspires worship from us. Now, I know, you know also, that we do not always rejoice in our life's circumstances from day to day, from week to week. Circumstances can change often. They do change often. Sometimes life circumstances change hourly. But through it all, regardless of life circumstances, we are still told to praise our Lord. Not necessarily to praise the circumstance, don't get me wrong, but the God who is in the midst of the circumstances. We praise Him. It was Dr. Warren Wiersbe who once wrote these words. He says, "Sometimes we simply need to get ourselves by the nape of the neck and decide to do what is right, no matter how we feel. We can still worship the Lord, regardless of outward circumstances. And He is the one who is worthy of all of our adoration." Did you notice? Go back to the text again. It says, "And we praise Him with our whole heart, the totality of ourselves, it says, in the company of the upright and in the congregation. Notice the text does not tell us to stay home. It says, no, we do this in the company of the upright and in the congregation. We do so in community. We come together and we worship His name. As it comes to corporate worship, one of the wonderful aspects of it is that not only do we come together for worship, that is the primary reason, but we can also come together to this place to worship to be an encouragement one to another. We really can't do that when we stay home. I know, and I know today it has become so convenient. And we've made it convenient on different fronts just to, well, stay home in your PJs with your cup of coffee and in front of your big screen TV or maybe your laptop at the breakfast table and just to stay home. We don't do this so you can stay home. We do this for those who absolutely cannot come out. On the Lord's Day, we need you here. You are a source of encouragement to each other. So when the doors are open to God's house, be here. The text tells us that we come, we worship Him in the company of the upright within the congregation. We need one another. And folks, I got to tell you, do not let Satan fill you with excuses as to why you cannot be here. Because he'll come up with a whole slew of them. You tell him that you are going to God's house today. And your intention is to worship your great King who is awesome. And you will do so in the assembly of the righteous and in the congregation. It was the writer of the book of Hebrews who told us this. You know this text. Many of you, probably most of you, have committed it to memory. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Friends, the day is drawing near. May we be found in the house of God with God's people, praising His name, His awesome works, His awesome word, and we will do so in the assembly of the righteous and in the congregation. Our God is an awesome God for a number of different reasons, well, many different reasons, but the ones that we see and we read about in Psalm 111, one of the things that we saw was His works. Did you see in verses 2 through 6? His works, His works, His works, His works, over and over again. The works of God are mentioned. And His great works are mentioned because there's the emphasis on His awesome nature. The Bible says His works can be studied. They are studied and they can be studied. We can learn and we can know of our awesome God through that which He has done, that which He has created. And we see His creative power and His creative genius in that which He has made. And you can see it every time you look through the lens of a microscope or the lens of a telescope, and you can see the awesome nature of our God. You look into a microscope and we can see the intricacies of a human cell. Or you can look through the lens of a telescope and you can see the grandeur of our God. And all those things, those tiny little things that you need a microscope to see, or those things that are so grand and so large you need a telescope to see, all of these things were created by speaking them forth. That is our God. And that is why the Scriptures call Him awesome. Now granted, I know, that there are those today who will look through those same lenses, the same lens of the microscope, the same lens of the telescope, and they will say, no, this is science. This came about through millions upon millions upon millions of years of evolution, and they dismiss a grand creator of it all. But we know that there is one who has fine-tuned every part of it. And it simply could not exist even today without his hand being upon it. Our great God, his creative genius, with all of its incredible design, all of its incredible complexity, all of its beauty, and all of its majesty. And it is on display in full splendor for all who want to look at it. We worship this God, his works. Verses 4 through 6, look at the text again. Some of his works he reminds us of. Verse 5 says he provides food for those who fear him. He provides food for those who fear him. Now, for those who may have originally heard these verses, provides food for those who fear him, they may have been thinking at that time, those occasions that they were closest to might have been how God provided for the children of Israel as they cross over from Egypt into the desert. And for year upon year upon year, he would provide for them food. Maybe it was the food he provided for them at the Passover meal. Maybe it was the food he provided for them as they conquered enemies and conquered territories and took their spoils with them. Maybe he provided food for them in that way. The psalmist reminds us of that. Verse 5 again, he remembers his covenant forever. What covenant is that? There are a number of different covenants in the Old Testament scripture. It may have been some of the earlier covenants because the Davidic covenant is not going to come until 2 Samuel chapter 7. The new covenant doesn't come until Jeremiah chapter 31. It may have been that covenant that he made with them at Mount Sinai when he chose them as his people and he made a commitment to them. He would be their God. They would be his people. And he remembers his covenant. And he does not change his mind because he does not change. And he's good to his word. And God still has a plan and a purpose for that nation. Do you know that? The nation of Israel, he has not completely forsaken them. Now, I know there are those within even the Christian church today who thinks that God, because Israel rejected Jesus, that, well, God has rejected them. It's called replacement theology. Maybe you've heard the term supersessionism. Folks, I'm here to tell you today, God still has a plan for his people, Israel. And if you ever doubt that, you just go to Romans 9, 10, and 11, and it will clearly tell you he has a plan for them. He has not walked out on his people, and he does not walk out on us today either. He is good to his word, and I will never leave you nor forsake you, he tells us. Old and New Testament alike. He is good to his word. He still has a plan for them. Even today, he is a covenant-keeping God, and his word is good even this day. And then verse 6, the psalmist talks about his works and how he has given to them, the nation of Israel, an inheritance. The inheritance of the nations. What's that? I take that to be the story of the conquest. I take that to be the book of Joshua. He has given to them, the nation of Israel, the inheritance of the nations. That's their land that he's giving to them. And he can do that because he's the one who owns everything. And he says to this nation, this chosen people, this land I have given to you. This will be your portion. This is your land. And the nation of Israel today has a deed to the land. It's called the Book of Deuteronomy. And it belongs to them. And I know there are those who want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And there are those who want them to give up parts and portions of their land. That is their land given to them by God. He has given to them the inheritance of the nations, he tells them. His works are great. His works inspire worship. And we go from the works of God to the word of God. What a natural transition. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Look at the text again. The works of his hands are faithful and they're just. Look, all of his precepts, some of your versions may read all of his commands. All of his precepts are trustworthy. They, his precepts, are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. The word of God. You read more about it. I don't have time to read through it with you, but Psalm 33, verses 6 through 11 tell us of this also. God is good to his word. He is good to his precepts. They are trustworthy. And as you have heard from this pulpit, I said before, and you will hear over and over again, the word of God will never lead us astray. It stands firm and true forever. Think of this with me, if you will. As the mood of nations change, and they do, ours certainly does. As electorates change, and they do. As people in voting booths change, and they do. As lawmakers change, and they do. As judges change, and they do. And as the laws of nations change, and they do, please remember this in living color, that the laws of our God are established and settled forever, because he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word, his book, is truthful in all that it says and does. Even today. And this inspires worship, which leads us to verse 9. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Our responsibility is verse 10. To know this and to fear him, as the fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom, and this will give to us good understanding. So that's what we have in Psalm 111 today, friends. A psalm of praise unto the Lord. The praise psalms either begin or end with praise the Lord. Sometimes they're both in there, beginning and end. And the word of God is cut into our hearts. One final story, and then I'm sending you on your way. Came across this story last week. It was simply entitled, How the Word Was Cut Into His Heart. It's very brief. Listen to how the storyline goes. When the Christians in Lahore, India, wanted to stamp Matthew 28 on the back of Gospels that they had printed, we do this also. We don't have a rubber stamp, but New Testaments that we hand out, we'll do this at Thanksgiving too. Tracts that we hand out, New Testaments we hand out, we'll put a little label on the back from your friends at True Memorial Baptist Church, and we'll put down our phone number and our address and things like that. Same idea, but this was being done with a rubber stamp, okay? So when the Christians in Lahore, India wanted to stamp Matthew 28 on the back of Gospels they had printed, they found that they could not obtain a rubber stamp with which to do it. The only way was to get a clever Muslim fella to cut the words in rubber for them. This follower of the false prophet did a good job for the saints. While he was doing his work on the soft rubber, God, by his spirit, was doing a work in his heart through his word, softening it like rubber. When the missionaries came back to pick up the finished stamp, they were astonished to hear the Muslim gentleman say, "While I was cutting those words into rubber, God was cutting them into my heart." And Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And the word of God, which is the power of God, did a work in this man's life. And it is God's work, and it is God's work that has been established. And for that, the congregation of the saints and the assembly of the righteous must say, "Awesome is our God and worthy of all praise. Thank you, Lord. He is so good to us all the time." Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, I thank you for your blessed word today. I pray that it would accomplish what you would have for it to do in our lives, in our thinking. Those present, those online, those who will watch at a later time. Lord, I pray that you would take Psalm 111 that tell us of your awesome works and your awesome word and cause it in our lives, Lord, to be found, that we may be found in this sense of awe and wonder at who you are, our awesome God. Lord, work the text into our life today. Bless us richly with it. Have your way with us, O Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, your hymnal one last time this morning. And for those of you who are joining us at home, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled Immortal, Invisible. For those of you joining us in the sanctuary, it's number 25 in your hymnal. Let's do verse 1, verse 4 only. First and last, please stand with me. Let's sing. Let's worship. Lord, dismiss the congregation of the saints this day. Lord, go before them. May they walk in your awesome goodness this week, Lord. May we be found often in awe at who our great Lord is. May the joy of the Lord be our strength today and forevermore. And Lord, your blessings rest upon these people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, dear friends. Hey, we have a business meeting, and we'll start in 10 minutes, okay? 10 minutes. You're dismissed.